Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Unfailing Love Ministries, our on the air, around the world, Church Without Walls, where we celebrate intent, intensity, and integrity in the Lord, expressing His love throughout all the world, especially starting at Jerusalem, as they say, in our own homes and locally and abroad. So we just thank God that you joined us here tonight. We're going to quickly move into prayer. We have our own Pastor Lonnie Williams.
Open us up in prayer.
Pastor Williams.
Oh, Father, you ready?
Hi.
Is everybody ready? Good evening, everybody. I'm glad to be here. And I would like to lead us in prayer. If you just lift your hearts to the Lord. Father, we thank you once again for this medium of getting together with your people, for you say don't forsake the assembly of the saints. And Lord, we are here to learn. We are learning about your take on what leadership is supposed to be and how we are to lead your people, Lord God. We thank you that we want to be leaders, that the people that you allow us to lead, those that you send our way, will do greater works than we are doing as their teacher. Father, we thank you once again for our pastor, Dr. V, and we thank you for the vision that you have given her with this Church Without Walls. We pray that you will stay with us this whole time, Lord, and give us some wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lonnie, for that great prayer. Our praise tonight is going to be with Sister Winans, and it is called Hallelujah Praise. Come on and praise God with us.
Hallelujah.
let me praise him. Hallelujah. Again, if you have just tuned in, you tune in to Unfailing Love Ministries, this worldwide church without walls. We come to lift up the name of Jesus tonight in his word. We're doing a series this year called Soul Leadership. And so we want to invite you to be with us tonight as we lift up the word of the Lord through scripture. I want to give you an opportunity to go ahead and get your Bibles. We're going to be in the New Testament tonight, John the 11th chapter. And we want you to read along with us and pray with us and hear the word of the Lord. Open up your heart, open up your spirit, your mind, so that you might understand, get a good understanding of God's word. The Bible said God sent his word and it healed them and it delivered them from all of their destructions. Don't take you but 5 minutes to listen to the news today to let you know, to be reminded that we are certainly living in the time of destruction. Destruction of the family unit, as it were, destruction of the marital union, as it is, destruction in our streets, destructions in our government, in our schools, you know, it's just, I mean, we could go on and on. Everywhere there's devastation, everywhere there's trauma, everywhere there's hate being lifted up, everywhere there's greed being lifted up, everywhere people are taking lives instead of giving life. And so that if ever a time our soul needs leadership, it is now. We need to be able to receive God's word so our thought life and our behaviors will match what his word is calling us to. He said, love one another. He said, and in fact, in Hebrews, it said for us to, the 10th chapter, 24th verse, it says for us to provoke, hallelujah, one another to love and to good works. And so I want to encourage you tonight to join us in our soul leadership training that's there. We are raising up leaders for the kingdom of God to lead and lead with love. And the reason I think the Lord gave us this mission is because there is, like the scripture says, there's faith and there's hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. And so that where love is missing, all of these things have all those things that are against love have an open door into our lives and manifest in our lives in so many ways. And so we need leaders that love and leaders who teach love from birth to death. We need that. Amen? All right, tonight we're going to go immediately into our study in the 11th chapter of John. Bear with me. I'm going to have to read a little bit of this for you to get the message on tonight, but I want you to keep this in mind as I go through. Jesus is not only a rabbi, a great teacher, but he's our shepherd, shepherd of our souls, he's a leader. And we, through the Gospels, we can see how he, not only he worked with, prayed with, taught, fellowshiped with, you know, all his disciples, but he had some friends. And his friends were Martha and Lazarus and Mary. Those were his, like, inner circle of friends. And we can find from just what the Bible has been lifted up to us regarding their relationship, they have a very close and loving relationship. And we find that how the Bible tells us about their relationship was at some very crucial times in their lives. Here in John, the 11th chapter, we find it is the death of Lazarus. There's in another scripture, it talks about, and Jesus, actually in the 5th verse, it says Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And the reason I want us to focus on the 11th chapter, the 5th verse, because if Jesus had that kind of relationship with his peers, that kind of relationship with his friends, it is very significant what the Bible
mentions that Jesus loved Martha and loved Mary and it loved Lazarus, says Sarah. And so while I'm having you to go and set that in your spirit, John, the 11th chapter, we're going to have one more song, and we're going to come right back into the teaching.
God so holy.
Here we are waiting, Lord. Come fill our hearts. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful song. I hope you just joined us. And if you did, we are in the 11th chapter of John. And we're talking about, we're doing our series on soul leadership. Jesus is our mentor tonight and his relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Bear with me. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version of the Study Bible. I'm going to start at the first verse of the 11th chapter. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 5, and that's going to be our focus verse. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went out on rather to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." My God. His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Hear that. Lazarus is dead. "And for those your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, Lord God, will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, I know. "He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, notice how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? See how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Verse 38, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did not I tell you that if you believe, you would rather see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, hallelujah, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off, hallelujah, the grave clothes and let him go. Glory to God. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. I'm talking tonight, I believe, in particular to leaders all across this country, and not only just leaders, because, you know, you don't have to be a pastor or reverend or missionary or anybody. The Bible says that we should all do the work of an evangelist. But I'm also talking about any woman or man, head of their household, any mother or father, any brother or sister who is a believer, and you have opportunity to be in communion and in community with others that you love dearly. Remember in verse 5, Scripture says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We can tell by this passage of Scripture that Jesus had spent some time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. How can we tell that? We can tell that because when Mary and Martha both respond to Jesus, they respond based on knowing him and knowing what his capacity, his ability, the anointing on his life. They knew, Mary said, they knew that he was the Christ. And so he had time teaching him, his friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, about who he is. He had spent probably countless evenings with them at dinner, over a meal, talking about his mission, talking about what God had called him to do. I'm sure they heard more than one time, I come to do the will of him who sent me. My meat is to do his will. I'm sure they probably heard him say, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. I'm sure he told them that. If he had spent as much time with them as the Scripture says, he had spent enough time with them, we for sure, based on verse 5 of the 11th chapter, to know that he had spent enough time with them to where he had become extremely fond of them. Amen. In fact, the Scripture goes on to say he loved them. Now, I don't know about you, when you hang around somebody long enough to see their ways, you see them get up in the morning, you see them go to bed at night, you see them walk through the day, how they handle stress and how they handle joy and happiness and disappointment. You see all of their ways. And at the end of the day, you know, you can still say, you know, I love them. I love being around them. These are my kind of people. I love me some Mary and some Martha and some Lazarus. That's that. And so I don't believe the Scripture would say that unless their relationship was not only inward in terms of their inner circle kind of thing, but it was also evident that people had seen them together and seen them spend time together and know that they were especially and extremely close. You know, when you back up to the third verse and even, probably verse 2, the latter part of verse 2, where it talks about this is the same Mary who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet. Mary had an opportunity to be forgiven by Jesus. She had an opportunity to serve at his feet. I'm sure Martha, we talk about Martha a lot, but I'm sure she many a meal. Point I'm trying to make here is that they had spent time together, doing things together, praying for sure, I believe, laughing, talking, probably doing chores together, you know, whatever it is. Jesus, you know, came from a heritage of being a carpenter, so I don't know if Lazarus helped him with to make some things or he made some things for their house. We can just glean so much from the fact that they had been in fellowship, close, intimate fellowship with one another. What I want to propose tonight, that if you're a leader anywhere, that your time spent with those that you love, doing things with those that you love day in and day out, that's there, counts. It counts. It's an act of love, the time you spend with those. I'm especially fond of smaller fellowships where the pastor and all the leaders and most of the members know your name, know you on a first name basis. Oh, that's Dr. V. I know Dr. V. Dr. V like Rocky Road ice cream. They know what you like, know what you love, know what you don't like. Amen. Hallelujah. So the time is very important. Jesus spent time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And I'm suggesting if you're going to be a soul leader, if you're going to lead with love, that you're going to be very, very conscious of the time you spend with one another. I often tell one of my leaders, especially, I live with one of them, that would be yours, you know, Mr. Reverend Deacon Good, that's there. I live with him, so he got me 24/7. He got the good, bad, and the ugly. But also, and one of my other leaders, he dropped in for a few days here and there, Apostle Damas, but also Pastor Lenny. You know, I go to maybe 2 days, and I ain't heard his voice. I'm calling him. I'm talking crazy. You know what I'm saying? Hey, what's up with you? Well, you ain't talked to your pastor. You ain't heard your pastor's voice. You know, you could be too busy, you know, that kind of thing. But I understand the power of being, spending time and finding out what's in your world, what's going on with you, is a part of my being a leader. The Bible says that, know those that labor among you. And Jesus knew Mary, knew Lazarus, you know, knew Martha, and he knew their habits, and they knew his. And so when we find in this passage of Scripture, when Jesus hears of Lazarus being sick, and he also knew what was going to happen. He knew that Lazarus was going to fall asleep. In other words, Lazarus was going to die. He also knew because of his relationship with God and what God had given him to do and the mission he was carrying out and the precursor, the things that were going to happen before he went to the cross, he knew that Lazarus was going to be made an example of how God and the resurrection power of God. So when he says, no, you know, he's just not sleeping, Lazarus is dead, but that's okay, you know. And then we find that when Mary and Martha do approach him and the mourners, Jesus is touched with their emotions, and he began to weep with them. The scripture said Jesus wept in verse 35 rather. And so he is not just with them observing them, but he enters into the emotional and spiritual arena with them, and he feels the sadness that they feel, even though he knows that he's going to go and raise Lazarus. How many of us have opportunity that's there to just cry with people that we love? They're going through something, and you may not be able to, at the very moment, to give them remedy for what they're going through. But you are acquainted with their grief. You are sensitive to what they are feeling. And again, back at verse 5, Jesus loved Lazarus. So what Lazarus was going through and what his sisters were going through, the grief that they were going through, he was feeling it. And he was man enough, and in his humanity, he was able to show his emotions. Well, Jesus gets to the tomb, and the tomb was covered up, and he wanted them to move the tomb. And Mary said, you know, Jesus, he's going to stink. He's been there for 4 days. Had you been here earlier, maybe you could have prevented him dying, because you could have laid hands on him and you could have touched him and healed him. We know you got healing power in you and that kind of thing. But he's dead. He's gone already. And so Jesus tells them to move the stone. And then he calls out for Lazarus and tells Lazarus to come out. Some translations say come forth. And I want to put a pin right here and say, as a leader, as a soul leader, in a parallel to this, sometimes we see people that have fallen asleep even though they're still breathing. They're falling asleep to life. In other words, they're dead to life. It seems like they're on a trajectory or path that's leading them straight, you know, to a death. And no matter how much intervention, we may counsel with them over and over again. We may say to them, oh, you're going in the wrong direction. Please come back. Please stop. We just, you know, they don't heed it. They just keep going full speed ahead. And we get impatient with that. And we go, well, hey, go ahead. You're on the fast track to hell. Go on. You know, that kind of thing. But here we find that Jesus with Lazarus, even after he was physically dead, you know, believe God. He says, you know, I'm not saying this prayer because I don't believe you as he began. I'm doing this for those who are standing by watching this. And so when he prayed, he knew that God was going to bring him back to life. Sometimes we give up on people because they're stinking and they have stinking thinking. They're already, you know, gone way past what we thought they of that place of no return, and so we give up on them. And so I want to parallel this with, as a soul leader, when we see people day after day, month after month, year after year, living a lifestyle that we think they've gone to a place of no return and they cannot be resurrected, I'm asking you as a soul leader to believe them for a fourth day resurrection. Hallelujah. Believe that even God, even as destitute as they look, even as desperate lifestyle as they're leaving, even that they have begun to stink physically themselves because they're so steeped in the sin and degradation that they're in. But we can look down at them and say, go on and die and stay there, or we can look down at them and say, rise up, come forth. I decree and declare that you shall live and not die and declare the praises of God. You know, how many times do we see even our own family members and our friends and the community, we pass by people and we shake our heads and go, you know, they're just on a road to death and there's no return. And rather than, I believe God for a resurrected life. I believe God that he can renew this life. I believe God he can restore this life. I believe he can bring this man or this woman or this child back to a state of living. Father God said in his word that he would that we all be saved and come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He also said that precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. So we want people to die in the Lord, not die in their sins. Bible doesn't say that Lazarus died of his sins. It says he got sick and died. But the point of it is he died. And there was resurrection for him. No judgment. It wasn't whether, oh, I don't know, Lazarus, you live such a life. We just, you know, we're not going to, you know, you haven't earned a resurrection. No. Wasn't no qualifications. You know, the Bible simply said in verse 5, Jesus loved him. He loved Mary, he loved Martha, he loved Lazarus. And I believe that, you know, we sing that song a lot of time in church, love lifted me. When what? Nothing else could help. And love could look like this, long-suffering. You know, let me forgive them one more time. Let me teach them one more time. Let me pull them out of the muck and mire one more time. Let's go to James. You know, pull them out. You know, even disdaining the clothes that they're in, but you pull them out because you love them. You want to see them live that eternal life that Jesus Christ came to die for. And so we go into their fourth days, and we tell them to come forth. It could be with a child. It could be with an adult. It could be anybody. But believe God with them for that fourth day resurrection. As a soul leader, this is what Jesus has shown us, that in God all things are possible. And I believe that love had a great, great part to play in this whole story of Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Jesus. When we think about the length that God goes through for us, when we think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him might have life. Huh? And so when we want to put line upon line and precept upon precept to God, according to God, even through Jesus' testimony here, it's all about love. Love would lift you when nothing else could help. Love called Lazarus forth, and he came from his fourth day death experience back to life. And then he tells his disciples, he tells everybody around, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And won't we have a time of rejoicing when we see those that we love or care about, those that we minister to, those that we have been long-suffering with, those that we call to come forth, those that we believe to have a resurrection day. They can come back from drugs. They can come back from sickness. They can come back from, you know, anything that has, you know, put them in a state of death. If we believe, we'll be able to say, take off the grave clothes and loose them. Let them go. Let them go. Jesus said in verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believed, hallelujah, you would see the glory of God? So, love leaders, believe leaders. Believe that there's nothing impossible for God. Even you yourself may be having a fourth day experience. Something in you may have died tonight, if you're listening or listen archive. Something in you may, you may even be thinking, I'll never get that passion back. I'll never have that kind of living again. I'll never be able to experience the joy I once experienced again. Whatever it is, whatever you think you've lost permanently, whatever has gone to sleep in you, whatever has died in you, the Bible says, believe God so you can see his glory. Amen? The Bible here says take away the stone. But for us tonight, it may be simply taking away the stony heart, the heart that's grown cold to God's power, God's ability to give us new life again. Again, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This has been our soul leadership lesson for tonight. I pray that you got something from it. Read that story again afresh like you've never read it before. See the close and loving relationship that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had with Jesus. See that God intentionally allowed verse 5 to be in the scripture. Jesus loved Mary and Martha. Also see verse 35, and Jesus wept. Ah, and even others, even the Jews in 36 would say, see how he loved him. Huh? Wouldn't that be an awesome testimony? I know that you love. I saw it. I saw you loving. And now I see that because of that love and because you believe in God, you've seen his glory, your loved ones have been resurrected. Wouldn't that be a powerful testimony for us to have? Of course. Okay, God bless you. We thank you so much for joining Unfailing Love Ministries. What we do at the end of all of our messages is we allow our leaders to give afterglow and reflections, what they got from the message. And so now we're going to open up our lines for Pastor Lonnie to give his reflections, and we're going to have whosoever will, Reverend Deacon Good, if he's available to us to give reflections as well. And then we'll have prayer and we'll close out for tonight. Pastor Lonnie.
Yeah, I was interested in how far a four-day walk is. That it took them, that he told his boys, we're going to go ahead and check on Lazarus. Because he got the message 2 days before it happened. And then when it happened, he said, come on, let's go. And as a leader, one of the things we have to do is convince our followers that what we're about to do is going to be good for all of us concerned. Mm-hmm. And for him to talk to them about walking 4 days to go see about a dead man, had to be not only his love for Lazarus, but for the disciples also, for the followers' love for Lazarus, because you know where Jesus went, at least James, John, and Peter went. So the rest of the cats went, because that's why, Thomas said, come on, let's go with him too, so we could die with him. That's love for your leader. It's love for your leader. So they walked 4 days. And I looked it up, 4 days from Richmond, because they were 4 days away from Bethany, which was 2 miles from the main city. So I was trying to figure out what was 2 miles from the main city. If we'd use Richmond as a point, Richmond being the main city, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived 2 miles out the city, which is like living in Henrico County from the city of Richmond, really, maybe closer. But 4 days travel was like coming from, they walked from Charlotte to come to Richmond.
All right.
To come and see about a dead man. That's 4 days travel. So the leadership is about having care for the people that's going to follow you. And you have to make sure that they know genuine care and genuine love for the people that is following you. And that's the part of a great leader. So that's what I got out of this message today, that he had his people follow him to show them. He said, you know, I got to show y'all one more thing, and that's why we didn't come, so you could believe too. Because even your followers sometimes still don't believe in you, even though they see a lot of stuff. And sometimes it's hard to get them all, because you know what happened with Thomas? Thomas still doubted even after the resurrection, even after the when the resurrection came, and he came and showed himself, and they tried to tell Thomas, yo, Jesus was here with us. He like, man, go ahead with that. I won't believe it until I see it myself. So sometimes you're going to have one, and then we're not going to talk about Judas, that still has a little doubt about your leadership. But that's a good message about leadership, how your followers will follow you with love and love the ones that you love.
Thank you for that reflection. All righty then. Well, I want to remind you that this is our new format for Unfailing Love Ministries. We meet every Wednesday night at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We invite you to join us live or archive. The message will be posted up on Facebook very shortly after service tonight. We also meet on third and sometimes the fourth Saturday of the month. And on the fourth Sundays, we meet at Shepherd's Heart Evangelistic Ministries, one of the ministries that we're supporting. Fifth Sundays, when we can, we go down to Faithful in Fredericksburg and any other ministry that calls upon us to come alongside them. We're about advancing the kingdom. Also, I want to let you know that on Friday night, I want you to tune in. Each of our on-the-air programs are at 9 a.m. In My Key is a musical format, and where we introduce old and new authors, and I'm especially fond of old school music and smooth jazz. So we have a great time. We also broadcast that live on Facebook. On Sundays, we have Love Scripts, where we walk through the Bible and show in so many different ways via the Scripture just how much God loves us. And that will be co-hosted with Latino A2J. Remember him? We've been doing radio for a long time together. And then on Monday nights, Genesis Talks with Dr. V and Tanya out of California, my co-host. Wow, you remember her, right? So we got great chemistry together, my co-host. And, of course, on Wednesday night, co-hosted with Pastor Lonnie Williams and the rest of the leaders of Unfailing Love Ministry. So you got so many ways throughout the week to connect with us, and we do want you to connect with us for sure. This coming Sunday, Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to celebrate our moms that are gone on to be with the Lord, and moms that are here, and moms to be. Amen. So I know you're going to find yourself either at your mom's house loving on her, or in the church house on Sunday. Wherever you go, whatever you do, make sure you bring the honor because they are so worthy of the honor and double honor. And certainly in memorial to those mothers who've gone on to be with the Lord and those family members that they left behind, we lift them up. We know that they miss them physically, desperately. Thank God for beautiful memories. My mom's gone on to be with the Lord, and I remember my Lily moments. And so I'll be blessed in the rest of the week about that. As a point of prayer, we want you to know that we pray for you. And if you have any special prayer requests, please call them in or text us, and we will lift them up on air. And when Pastor Lonnie closes us out, he will certainly mention your family or you in particular, your friends by name, if we know that. I want to lift up particularly in my family, my brother Randy, who's soon to be with the Lord, and we just want to lift up his wife, Kim, and all of us. We're all deeply impacted, you know, have been loved by him desperately and for a long time. We know without a doubt he loves us, and we know without a doubt God loves him. And where he's going is going to be glorious, and he's going to be in full joy, but we're missing him even beginning now. So going to lift Brother Randy Swampter up out in California. Lift yours truly, your pastor up. Dr. V, I'll be traveling there as soon as I get the great ticket, hopefully by Sunday, you know, to be with him in his homegoing time. Also want to lift up Sister Gloria Cox. She's in VCU Hospital, and the doctors are running a whole lot of tests trying to figure out and make sure that they can address some of the things that are going on in her body that are not in alignment with wellness. So lift up Brother Randy and Brother Gloria tonight. Also, Prophetess Tressie Hunt, and we just ask for her renewed strength and healing from her migraine headaches. Okay, Pastor Lonnie, close us out in prayer, please.
Okay, I'm back. Here I am. I had muted the phone because I was snacking. Hey, let us go to heaven. Father God, we thank you for this word that you have imparted in us. And as we go on to meet those people tomorrow or even later on this evening, let us remember what we heard and so we can put something in somebody else. And Lord, just those names that were called, bless them, Lord God. Bless their families, and in particular, bless our pastor for her loss. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Well, on Friday night, until then, God bless you, and know just how much he loves you. This has been Unfailing Love Ministries. The church of God bless.
Dr. V, and you are tuned in to Unfailing Love Ministries, where each week we embrace the scriptures with intensity and integrity so you might experience the love of God, not only the love of God, but the peace of God. Join us each week.